All right, so I'll be giving a status report on the ATST, talk about the Advanced Technology Solar Telescope. And I think my goal really here is to get everyone very excited about a telescope that's not actually going to be available to you until 2019. But I think we recognize very much that continuous engagement by the community is really required for us to make sure that we continue to match the key science drivers as we move forward, and also because the model for operation of this ground-based facility is a bit different than the model for some of those that are existing right now. So very succinctly, looking at the key science driver, trying to summarize that, study solar magnetism that controls the solar wind, flares, CMEs, and variability in the sun's output. And so that's really the unifying principle. And then with an adequately, I've got that set, that's gonna be a pain. And then with an adequately ambitious design, we're also going to be able to really detect and spatially resolve the fundamental astrophysical processes at their intrinsic levels. And that's really the key. The ATST is really about sensitivity and resolution. All right, so this is looking along the top, looking at the key areas that we're going to be studying, the flares, coronal mass ejections, solar variability. We've heard a lot, I think, this week about heating of the chromosphere and the corona, looking at structure and dynamics, and then, of course, exploring the unknown. The ATST is really a general purpose instrument, and so it really needs to be poised to answer questions that we haven't yet asked and ready to do that. Along the bottom are the impacts and the key requirements that come from trying to meet these needs are this high spatial, spectral, and temporal resolution, and the high precision polar imagery, the high photon flux, and then extending across a very broad wavelength band in order to meet these needs. And so the resulting telescope that comes from matching or meeting these requirements is what we have right now. It's a large aperture, a 4-meter aperture off-axis design. Integrated adaptive optics throughout. Everything is designed with the sense of controlling the thermal characteristics throughout the facility, making sure that's not impacting the seeing, and dust mitigation, having a fairly broad field view, but being able to control, again, the thermal characteristics scattering from that. Angular resolution, and so that 0.03 arc seconds is getting you down to tens of kilometers on the solar surface. High polarization accuracy, and of course, we want to be around for a long time to really monitor the sun in detail with this facility. And so the broad wavelength range is covered, and I've listed the sort of five core first lights or starting instruments for the ATST, and you can see them listed there, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And so in a quick nutshell, this is the Texas Flight Scale and Status. And so we're a project I think people know pretty well. It was originally funded in 2010. It's about a $300 million project. At the time, it was in 20. Of course, there have been a range of issues involved in getting all of their bidding legal situations where we have to begin site construction on Haleakala. And that has delayed things a bit. So right now, the answer is that by 2019 is what we're looking at for the start of operations of the ATST. And part of that is, even though we had essentially nearly a 3-year delay in access, we moved ahead with the site development, design, and actual fabrication. But there's only so far you can compress the schedule. And so there is this sort of serious sense of events, and you've got to have the site prepared, you've got to develop the lower enclosure foundation for the dome itself, and then you've got to put the telescope in, et cetera, et cetera. And so we've done what we can, but July of 2019 is what we're looking at right now. And then just very quickly, site construction is underway. Most of the principal systems have been through their final design. We're actually building things, and I'm going to show a lot of pictures about that to hopefully get everyone excited. And then there are just a few remaining areas where we're still doing the final design reviews and collapsing on that area, and that's mainly in instrumentation and some of the AO system. All right, so this is the fun slide for why we were delayed, and this is a simplified flow chart for the permitting process for the ATST. And so I've got a little pointer here. The key thing is that the ATST is in a fairly complex environment. It's in this conservation district use land called Haleakala Observatories. It also has associated with it an Air Force facility. There's DOE and FAA all there. It's on state conservation land, as I mentioned, and you have to use a national park road to actually get to it. And so all of this drives a set of processes from NEPA to the National Historic Preservation Act. There are also endangered species on the site that you have to take into account as well. And so it's a very complex process that's taken a long time to get through, and that's sort of been one of the lessons learned, if you will, about building large facilities. What does it really take in terms of your planning, both budgetarily and in schedule, to really get it done and match what you what's actually required? So this is a very quick slide that shows kind of the critical path of the major construction components on site, going from the site work, a lot of the excavation, you know, steel and concrete, going through all the way to this rather steeper bit, which is the integration phase toward the end in 2017, when most of the facility is actually erected and up. And then showing some love for the optical components as well, which are also moving along with the software too. So this next one is, if I can just maybe pause this real quickly. So what I'm going to show you now is a four-dimensional model of the ATST construction, both what has actually happened and also how things are going to look as we move ahead, and give you a view of that. And this is kind of a very innovative way of looking at it, where we're taking a lot of the Revit drawings, building and architecture drawings. We're looking at some of the SolidWorks designs for the various subsystem components, and then marrying that to our integrated project schedule, and then seeing what happens. And it's actually been very informative in terms of telling us where there might be some logistical clashes as we're developing forward. And so it's been a useful process. And so I'm going to try to talk through this very quickly. So this is the site. Anything in orange is a dig, it's an excavation. Anything in green is a build, a construction or fabrication part of it. And you can see here, this is the grade beam for the foundation. That's the type of foundation we're using for the support and operations building. There's a retaining wall here, and there's some work on the ground field. This is the utility building. This is where it is housed, the generator, the coolers and condensers and UPS systems, et cetera, there. There's a utility tunnel that matches and with ventilation and utility cables that transfer between the utility building and the SNO building. We're looking at the lower enclosure being completed, and the dome itself can be erected at that stage. And so you can see the date along the top left there, and there's the enclosure itself. And then it starts to speed up a little bit. We get inside the building a bit, and you start to see the development for both the rotating Kudé lab and also for the mount, the telescope itself. We move up, and this is going to end basically in mid-2017, when we think we have the bulk of the structure actually in place for us to really move inside and begin doing the alignments and the integration of the systems and the actual commissioning of the facility, so that we can actually meet that July of 2019 timeline. So this is just, I wanted to kind of freeze a few stages here. Just to give some illustration that, hey, this is real. It's not a diagram, actually. We actually have things in place. And so here you can see the grade beam. Well, there's the concrete. It's a thing of beauty there for the support and operations building. It's in place. This is one of the forms for the concrete for the utility tunnel transition. And you can see that was back in May of 2013, rather. And here's how it looks right now. This is what the site looks like. It's a very compact site. For us, this is the old Mies facility there, and this is where the SNO, this is where the dome will be built, and here's where the utility building will be. But you can see that the stuff is, or the various concrete and steel is really in place at this point with all the requisite backfill. The next one to show is to illustrate a little bit the enclosure. So the enclosure is something that's not going to be coming for some time yet. But right now, we've actually contracted with the vendor to build and test this in Spain. And so this is a webcam feed of work that was going on. This is just from a few weeks ago, where they're erecting the arch girders for the dome. You can see where these are in the facility. And all that's going to be completed this year. And we're going out there at the end in the fall of this year to actually test that system out. And then we break down and ship it to Hawaii. And so it will already have been built, hopefully mitigating a lot of the risk in the process of building on site in Haleakala, which can be a challenging environment. And there's a picture from before, and then here's a picture from Tuesday, and you can begin to see not only the arch girders, but some of the support structure for the cladding and things like that, much like in that design. So we're all just kind of extremely excited about all of this, obviously. And so then looking further down the road for the telescope mount and the Kudé lab itself, that rotating structure that will house all the different instruments and really be the delivery system for the science. And then just to show you, there's a whole lot of steel going on. And this is in Rockford, where a lot of this construction is going on. And you can see the various components in the 3D diagram. Well, these are actually built, and we're calling this the Coudet rotator upside down kit because it's upside down here. But you can see that's the flipped version of what this is in the diagram there. And last is just to say that with the delays in the site access, unlike in other areas where the software is usually dangerously late, we have the opportunity to actually have the software be very early and completely unmatched to our operational needs. And so what we're doing to try to counteract that, to deal with the fact that the software is coming in maybe earlier than everything is solidified, is we're developing prototypes and simulations to work through all of this, and then working very tightly with our science crew to look at these systems, the control systems basically, and make sure that they're really matched to the way we're going to be operating the telescope and making sure that they're optimized for the efficiency of the science coming out in the end. All right. And then last is, this is just a quick view, I'm right on then, quick view of the instrumentation package that we'll have at the start of operations in 2019. And so this is just a little chart kind of showing the overlapping areas in terms of the wavelength coverage of the facility. The red line is sort of the diffraction limit, showing that some of the instruments are hitting that throughout, some of them are only hitting it in part, in particular for the cryoNERSP, and then trying to summarize some of their core characteristics. And really it is a complementary system of instruments to really meet that original set of goals, really looking at the three-dimensional structure of the magnetic fields, trying to trace that down not just to the cartoon level, but really trying to understand the driving physics and matching with some of the theoretical predictions that are going on and cornering some of those pesky theorists to make sure that they're being honest about things. Oh, and then just this is just a illustration showing, so this is one of the H-beta interference filters that was actually deployed early at the Dunn Solar Telescope to kind of test that out. And the movie's kind of half resolution, but you can see the full resolution here. But even with this sort of kind of really cool movie of what's going on, you can see that the resolution is really not quite there. We really do need the Haleakala site, which is so good for, you know, coronagraphic observations, very low scattering, wonderful seeing. But also that 4 meter aperture is really going to be key to getting the resolution that we need. And then maybe just to kind of move into the next sessions a little bit, I've tried to identify all these instruments are incredibly exciting. We're looking forward to realizing them on the ATST, but many of them have precursors that exist right now and can be used at NSO facilities. And I've tried to highlight those, IBIS and Spiner and SPIES should be in here as well. I probably didn't do that for the DL-NERSP, SPIES-2K. And UBF. And so these are available now if you want to kind of prototype your science while you're waiting for the ATST. And so basically the quick summary, again, off-site construction has begun and has been underway. Lots of stuff is in place. And on-site construction underway, final design happening, and we're just incredibly excited. And if you're very interested in the ATST, we do try to keep a quasi-live feed. It has a cadence of about every 2 weeks. We post a picture highlighting another aspect of the ongoing construction for the project with some notes about that.